This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Friday, August 14th, 2020. Today you'll hear about several new court cases created by the Supreme Court's most recent term's decisions. Which college football conferences have testosterone left in them? Israel is making peace with one of its neighbors. And Jared Kushner is hanging out with Kanye West. Did Chief Justice Roberts leave a message in the bottle of his last rulings, or is he too clever by half? Robert Barnes writes at the Washington Post about a cluster of abortion and transgender court cases likely to land back in the Supreme Court soon. He writes, the Supreme Court's rulings for momentous just completed term already are altering the nation's legal landscape, almost assuring that issues such as abortion and transgender rights will be returning to the high court. Just as last week, lower courts reinstated abortion restrictions in Arkansas, stopped a Vermont program that disfavored certain students at religious high schools, and ordered a Florida school district to allow a girl, who pretends to be a boy, into a boy's locker room and restrooms. In all three of these lower court decisions, decisions made by the Supreme Court in this most recent term were cited. Barnes points out that all of these decisions were based on the Supreme Court's decisions reached just weeks ago. The most consequential regards abortion and whether Chief Justice John G. Roberts Jr.'s pivotal vote striking down a Louisiana law actually paved the way for courts to approve restrictions that have been enacted elsewhere. Does that seem strange to you? He struck down a restriction in Louisiana, and some people are wondering if, in so doing, he's actually paved the way for approving other restrictions. Here's how it works. Remember, Roberts was excoriated for his apparent flip-flopping on his vote in the 5-4 decision in Louisiana case June Medical Services versus Russo. Roberts voted with liberals to strike down a law which Roberts said was identical to a Texas law the court had declared unconstitutional back in 2016, a decision that Roberts disagreed with. He voted against the 2016 decision, but apparently voted to disagree with himself in June Medical Services versus Russo. Vice President Pence was among many calling Roberts a disappointment to conservatives, specifically citing that abortion decision. But liberals pointed out that Roberts based his vote on precedent alone. Barnes writes, he did not join the opinion of Justice Stephen Breyer that said courts should balance the burdens imposed by state restrictions against their purported benefits in determining whether a law violates a woman's right to an abortion. Instead, Roberts said he continued to believe the Texas case was wrongly decided. He said that, in his opinion, when he voted against the case in Louisiana. He said he still thinks the Texas case is wrongly decided. He said courts should look at only whether a restriction places an, quote, undue burden on a woman's access to the procedure. Abortion supporters smelled blood in those instructions. Of course, it might be because they've supported the murder of so many babies. Roberts' opinion preserves the outer shell of the earlier decision while gutting its substance, New York University law professor Melissa Murray wrote in an op-ed in the Washington Post. And in so doing, it invites states to push the envelope on abortion legislation, secure that, regardless of the benefits to patients, courts will bless the laws so long as they do not pose a substantial obstacle. So, a unanimous panel of judges on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit cited Roberts' opinion as grounds for lifting the injunction against four measures passed by the Arkansas legislature back in 2017 designed to limit abortions in their state. So, is Roberts playing 4D chess, or is he being too clever by half? In the same article, Robert Barnes highlights a court decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit requiring a school district in Florida to allow a cross-dressing girl access to boys' bathrooms and locker rooms. In this case, the panel cited again the recent Supreme Court decision Bostock, which identified workplace discrimination against sexual orientation and sexual identity as illegal under Title IX. Remember, Title IX is a federal civil rights law passed as part of the Education Amendments of 1972. This law protects people from discrimination based on sex in education programs or activities that receive federal financial assistance. Title IX states that no person in the United States shall, on the basis of sex, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefits of, or be subjected to discrimination under any education program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. The Supreme Court magicians decided to pull sexual orientation and sexual identity out of the hat, spelled S-E-X. However, Neil Gorsuch, who authored the decision, was clear that Bostock did, quote, not purport to address bathrooms, locker rooms, or anything else of the kind. Anything else of the kind, Gorsuch wrote in Bostock versus Clayton. The only question before us is whether an employer who fires someone simply for being homosexual or transgender has discharged or otherwise discriminated against that individual because of such individual's sex. But, of course, Gorsuch could not have expected people to actually listen to him when he said anything else of the kind, bathrooms, locker rooms, and such. Dissenters said the reasoning in the decision would be applied by lower courts to those controversies, and so this panel from the U.S. Court of Appeals last week became the first to do so. The panel said that St. John's County School Board policy violated the Constitution and Title IX. Bostock confirmed that workplace discrimination against transgender people is contrary to law. Neither should this discrimination be tolerated in schools, wrote Judge Beverly Martin, who was joined by Judge Jill Pryor. He who says X must say Y, right? And surely Gorsuch knew they would be coming back. So was Gorsuch playing 4D chess? Wait a second. But wait, there's more. Robert Barnes, in the same article, points out a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit indicated there was very little ambiguity in the Supreme Court's decision in Espinoza versus Montana Department of Revenue, which concerned whether religious schools must be included in public programs that benefit other private schools. A state need not subsidize private education, Supreme Court Justice Roberts wrote for the 5-member majority. But once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. That would seem to doom a Vermont program that provides funding for high school juniors and seniors to dual enroll in college courses before they graduate. Students at religious high schools were barred from that program, but not those at secular private schools or those who are homeschooled. So a panel of judges, citing the Roberts decision, said the challengers have a strong likelihood of success on the merits of their claims because of the Espinoza decision. And so they halted the exclusion of students at religious schools in Vermont while the lawsuit goes forward. All three of these situations just outlined very well may end up back in the laps of the Supreme Court. This is why we need weapons for this fight, which is why we want to again invite you to our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd. We've put together a package full of feasting and psalm singing, hearty fellowship, and a lineup of speakers committed to showing you how God's word applies to all of this: politics, law, public policy, economics, business, education, creativity, marriage, and family, and just personal holiness, walking with Christ. This isn't about a normal conference circuit thing at all. We're going to dig deep, and so we invite you to join us this October 1st to the 3rd as we build a rowdy Christian culture for God's glory and our good. Go to fightlaughfeast.com and register today. Now, what you need to know this Friday, this weekend, is which football conferences are still run by men. The Big Ten and Pac-12 conferences have announced that their schools are run by sissies, and they will be staying home this fall and playing with dolls. Speaking of cross-dressing, P. people. Lining up with them are the Mid-American Conference and the Mountain West Conference, sucking their thumbs. As of now, 54 of the 130 total teams in the football bowl subdivision are out. As of now, the SEC, the Big 12, the ACC, the Sun Belt Conference, and the American Athletic Conference and Conference USA are still on, still have a bit of testosterone left. The four conferences that have canceled their fall seasons have announced their high hopes to play some kind of spring season. However, just about everyone and their grandmother notes how difficult the logistics would be for a spring football season. When asked on Big Ten Network if a spring season could be held, former Ohio State coach Urban Meyer said, "No chance. You can't ask a player to play two seasons in a calendar year." Israel and the United Arab Emirates announced a peace deal Thursday. Israel and the UAE announced that they had reached a peace deal that would lead to a full normalization of diplomatic relations between the two Middle Eastern nations, an agreement that U.S. President Donald Trump helped broker. Under the agreement, Israel has agreed to suspend applying sovereignty to areas of the West Bank that it has been discussing annexing, a joint statement by all three parties to the agreement said. Trump, announcing his policy via tweet as per usual, called the agreement a huge breakthrough, although he did spell it with an H, describing it as an historic peace agreement between our two great, all caps, friends. The joint statement said the three leaders had agreed to full normalization of relations between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. The historic diplomatic breakthrough will advance peace in the Middle East region and is a testament to the bold diplomacy and vision of the three leaders and the courage of the United Arab Emirates and Israel to chart a new path that will unlock the great potential in the region, the statement said. The agreement was sealed in a phone call on Thursday between Trump, Netanyahu, and Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi. The officials described the agreement to be known as the Abraham Accords, as the first of its kind since Israel and Jordan signed a peace treaty in 1994. Last up today, Jared Kushner met with Kanye West last weekend. USA Today reports White House advisor Jared Kushner said Thursday he spoke recently with rapper Kanye West, but not about any plan to have West run for president in order to help father-in-law Donald Trump win re-election. No, not at all about that. We had a general discussion, more about policy, Kushner told reporters. Kushner said he and West both happened to be in Colorado at the same time last weekend and got together because he has some great ideas for what he'd like to see happen in the country, and that's why he has the candidacy that he's been doing. Democrats described the Kushner-West meeting as the latest piece of evidence that Trump's re-election team is helping the famed producer and recording artist get on as many state ballots as possible. The idea, they said, is that West would draw African-American voters away from Democratic candidate Joe Biden, helping Trump prevail in closely contested states. Well, what's wrong with that? This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this and all our shows at CrossPolitik.com or on our app, which you can download, you should download, at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Our app is the only way to get in the bullpen with Mark Dewey, as well as access to all the other shows, as well as our normal CrossPolitik shows. You can actually watch them, you can comment on them there in the app. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member. And for a limited time, you can get your very own Fight, Laugh, Feast t-shirt and access to tons of extended backroom discussions with Sho Baraka, David French, Tom Askell, Jared Longshore, Eric Erickson, Maj Ture, Vodi Bakum, Biblical Parenting with Doug and Nancy Wilson, God and Government, End Times Eschatology with Gary DeMar, Pastors and Politics with George Grant, C.R. Wiley, a Proverbs Bible study with me, and our very own Worldview Shotgun series. Also, if you're a member, you get $100 off your registration for our Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st to the 3rd. So go to FightLaughFeast.com, become a member, register now. Have a great weekend.